I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Director Ray, welcome. As you know, I am deeply concerned about the conduct of both the Department of Justice and the FBI, particularly in the last 3 years during the Biden administration. I think the Department of Justice has been profoundly politicized under Attorney General Merrick Garland, and I think the FBI has as well. And unfortunately, I think you've been unwilling to stand up to senior career officials in the FBI who's allowed the FBI to be politicized. I'll tell you, I regularly speak with FBI agents across the country who are unhappy about the integrity of the institution being weakened because DOJ is being treated as a political weapon.
DOJ being treated as a political weapon, that means everything under DOJ, the Attorney General's office, the FBI, all being used as a political weapon. You were listening to Senator Ted Cruz in his opening remarks in a hearing today involving FBI Director Ray. Ray is appearing before Congress, the senators, arguing that we need to renew our sweeping surveillance powers under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. He said if we don't renew those powers, we are creating, quote, a form of unilateral disarmament. Understand that after 9/11, we all recognized something more needed to be done to protect our country. We did not have proper exchange of information between our various agencies. One knew this, one knew something else about the same subject, a third knew nothing about either of the others. And we also needed to have a better way to monitor terrorist activities in our nation. But then what began to happen is that the FBI began to move into areas that had no bearing whatsoever on terrorist activities other than something concocted by someone in a back room and said, you know what? I don't like Catholics. Let's go after them. Or I don't like these parents that keep showing up at school board meetings protesting that, one, their child is to be told you will be gender neutral or not in this school, and we'll make them a target. That is what Senator Cruz is talking about. And those are the kinds of things that Ray has to make clear as to what he's done or will do to make sure the agency stays on its directed track and path, especially if you're going to give more authority under 702. He's got a lot of proving to do. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, December 5, 2023, the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. Reminding you that while we're on the air, we're also streaming video for you. News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and available on Rumble. And a program note for you that tomorrow night we will not have a second hour of Larry Connors USA because News Talk STL will be carrying the Republican debate. I'll go through it for you, so if you don't have a chance or bother to listen to the debate, we'll pull out some meaningful value, if there's any, for you the next day. But only 1 hour of Larry Connors USA tomorrow night. Now, the other thing we're talking about when Ray is testifying before these members of Congress, again trying to justify that we are properly in a view of oversight, making sure that we follow the Constitution, that we don't abuse personal powers. There was a roundtable discussion of reporters that took place about 4 months ago, and as you listen to this discussion, you begin to hear exactly where the FBI not only stepped off the path, but created a new path of surveillance.
There was an FBI memo that went out in January of this year in the Richmond office, Richmond, Virginia, saying that Catholics who prefer the Latin Mass, and especially those who disagree with Vatican II, can be linked to right-wing, extremist, racist groups. And so... This is very disturbing because basically, Catholics and other Christians and people of other faiths may believe in a pro-life stance. They may believe in a biblical marriage stance, whatever. And the people in power disagree with those. And so what they're doing is targeting conservative Christians as being hate groups.
Conservative Christians being hate groups. The FBI doing the targeting. Now, we already know there are political opponents out there that make similar claims. They've already been stating it in the state-controlled media. You got to worry about these Christian nationalists. They're a threat to our nation. First of all, what does a Christian nationalist actually mean? I don't think they can define that any more than they can AR-15. But if you're Christian and you really believe in the Bible and you try to live your life by the Bible, you should be feared. I'll take my chances with God versus man any day. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio said, look at where we were in the beginning as the FBI talked about investigating the Catholic religion.
Well, first they told us it was just one field office, the Richmond field office. Then we learned that, no, it was bigger than that. It was multiple field offices involved in this attack on pro-life Catholics. And now we learn, as you pointed out, Sean, that the FBI was talking to a priest and a choir director. Now, again, remember the larger context. This is the same FBI that spied on President Trump's campaign. This is the same FBI that censored Americans.
And we now know that was more than just that one office, that others were involved in compiling information. Interviewing a choir master, that's going to solve some terrorist threat? Jim Jordan continues.
Remember when Joe Biden stood in front of Independence Hall and talked about how one half of the country is fascist? And it's this whole mindset. If you're pro-life, if you're a traditional Catholic, somehow you're radical. Somehow you're an extremist. Remember, this is part of the Justice Department that said if you're a mom and dad going to a school board meeting, you're an extremist as well. So this is the mindset. This is what's so scary. And this is why we don't want to give them more money for a new headquarters and why we've formed this committee to look at all the things they have done in this area and, of course, in the censorship area.
Censorship being another key issue, because if you recall, the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop in its possession for more than a year before the Biden-Trump election, and they kept it undercover. And then when they realized news was going to break in the New York Post, well, they got word out quickly ahead of it and say, don't believe anything you see or read about that, because it doesn't exist. It's a fake story. It's Russian collusion. Other congressional hearings today, and one of them, Missouri Congressman Smith, was talking about the IRS whistleblowers on the Biden deals. We'll have more on that later in this hour. But first, an update on Israel's war against Hamas.
Now, amid this new push in the second phase of the war, the civilian death toll in Gaza is rising rapidly, and there are new concerns about the possibility of more Iranian regional activity against Israel and its allies. In a quote, a spokesman for the foreign ministry in Iran said, no action against Iran, its interests, or our advisory forces will go unanswered. A clear threat against Israel and the United States in the region, as we do know the Israelis are striking Hezbollah targets today in southern Lebanon, after new fire in northern Israel.
That is how it's beginning to escalate. And keep in mind, the question then is, what's going to happen to all the Palestinians that were told get out of the north, go to the south, as Israeli troops move in? And there's another key point that's happening. This is something we discussed a week or so ago. Would it be possible to pump seawater from the Mediterranean Sea into these tunnels and force the Hamas terrorists out? Of course, you take a chance there as well of Some of the hostages they're holding are down inside the tunnels, as well as Palestinian civilians. But now, apparently, five major pump stations have been put in place to carry that act out, to begin to pump Mediterranean seawater into the tunnels. We also have Jake Sullivan with the White House Security Advisor acknowledging some of the issues not only we but other countries are facing because of what Iran is sanctioning.
We have every reason to believe that these attacks, while they were launched by the Houthis in Yemen, were fully enabled by Iran. We are in talks with other countries about a maritime task force of sorts involving the ships from partner nations alongside the United States in ensuring safe passage of ships in the Red Sea.
I'm delighted to hear Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor to the President, finally mention the word Iran associated with proxy activity in the region. They've avoided using that word for all of those attacks that have been committed against U.S. bases by Iranian proxies from Iraq and from Syria. And now this Houthi attack is enabled by Iran, as were all the other attacks as well.
That is Jack King, retired four-star general, also an analyst for Fox News, saying, I'm glad to hear Sullivan, the White House, Defense Department, use those words, Iran enabled. And also the talk about maybe we need a special task force of U.S. Navy and allied ships put together to protect merchant ships.
The defensive measure to organize a naval task force to protect commercial shipping in the Persian Gulf, in the Red Sea, in these vital navigation trade routes, that's absolutely the right move. We've done it before, multiple administrations, and it has been successful. Second thing, though, that's defensive. If you want to stop the activity, you've got to step up and get offensive. And that is, clearly, go after the Houthis who are firing these rockets and missiles and drones. We know where they're coming from. We know where the drones are. We know where the people who are shooting them are. We know where the missiles and rockets are. Take a lot of that down and make that very painful for them.
Yeah, painful and deadly if they continue. That can easily be done. But they're all operating and enabled, as now acknowledged by the White House, by Iran. And to this point, General King gets very direct, and some question, is that really a good step?
Let's follow up on the word enabled by Iran that Jake Sullivan suggested is behind all of this and hold them accountable. We have plenty of targets that Central Command can provide to the administration. I doubt they're going to do that, but it's something they should have done weeks ago when the Iraq and Syria proxies upped their game against the U.S. bases in the region.
Well,
but
I mean,
yes, the initial step with the task force is a move in the right direction.
I mean, does it feel to you like the U.S. and Iran are getting closer to some kind of an escalation here?
Well, I think the United States should escalate, in other words, to shut them down.
Right.
And yes, this is the calculation. Many people think, well, if you do, then we're leading to a war with Iran. But when you look at and analyze that 43-year Iran history, that's not the case. They use proxies because they don't want to be involved themselves. If they get directly involved with the United States, they lose their regime. They know that. Their escalation, I think, would be very minor because they want to avoid war with the United States.
And that is exactly what we saw when Ronald Reagan was president, and he basically destroyed their navy. But now, of course, we have another player on the stage. Was there during Ronald Reagan's term as well, but bigger player now, and it would be China. And, of course, we also have what Russia is doing, reference Ukraine. And this administration continues to say, we're not even going to give money, even though it's been approved by the House. We're not going to give $14.5 billion to Israel to help them, because unless you attach to that money for Ukraine. Well, Senator Lindsey Graham says, there are a lot of us who are saying, we're not budging. If you want any money for Ukraine, you've got to have solid decision making and money for our own border security.
In the last 2 days, 10,200 people have shown up at the border. Those are the ones that we know about. The last 7 days, almost 9,500 on average. You're on track to do 3.6 million. There will be no deal until you change the policies that lead to this problem. If that's too far for you, I'm sorry. It shouldn't be too far for America. The American people are demanding to regain control of a border where we have lost control.
So it is critical. And he's talking specifically to Democrats and even some Republicans who think, well, we can pick off a vote here and there and we can still get the Ukraine funding without adding true border security. Now, Biden has in his package money for border, but it's not really security. It's mostly send more agents down to help process illegals coming into the country quicker. You know how much we spent on Ukraine already? Just under $80 billion. And out of that, $26 billion went direct financial, $4 billion humanitarian, the other 40-plus amounting to military, security, things of that nature. And it's still not enough. Again, Graham says, if you want one more dollar for Ukraine, you're going to have to show us you're going to spend money to actually close our border.
The world is on fire. Multiple fronts and getting worse every day. There will be no assistance to other nations who are deserving until we assist our own nation. So this attitude of doing the least you can, trying to pick 10 or 12 of us off, is not going to work. We're united over here. We're divided on Ukraine, but I would say two-thirds of our conference would vote for a package, including Ukraine aid, if it had real border security. And here's the problem you got. I know what real border security looks like. So does Senator Tillis. So does Senator Cotton. So does Senator Lankford. And so does everybody else over here. So you're making a choice. You're putting your nation at risk. And the consequence of this is going to be devastating to the world.
Devastating the world because, as Senator Graham began by saying, the world is on fire. And it is at this point. And closing our border is what we must do to protect this nation. More on the border issue and Biden's efforts to get money for Ukraine. And you might be surprised to hear who supports additional aid to Ukraine. But I also want to tell you about a discovery made by a reporter about how many military-age Chinese men are being assembled south of the U.S. border, but the intent is to come into our nation. And for what purpose, you would ask? We're going to be examining that. We're going to be taking another look at some of the hearings underway and the fight against anti-Semitism. And also, coming up, you might have heard about lab-produced diamonds. Now, does that mean just a fake diamond, or is it something else? My next guest is an expert who can answer the question. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington, and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I always want to be transparent with my audience, and my next guest and his company are a sponsor of Larry Connors USA. So I don't try to hide that from you. And also a friend. I've been a friend of Leo and also Vito, who owns Vincent's Jewelers, for several years, and a customer. But I wanted an expert, and so why not go to them for an expert on the question about these lab diamonds we're hearing about? They can cost you 70 to 90% less than a natural diamond. Does that mean it's necessarily a fake diamond? Joining us, Leo from Vincent's. Welcome aboard, sir.
How are you, Larry?
Good. So let's begin with that question. Let's get that understood, because normally when somebody talks about a lab diamond, they're thinking about cubic zirconium or that it's a fake diamond, but it's not the same thing, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, this is a key thing. Lab-grown diamonds should never be confused with a cubic zirconia, also known as a CZ, or moissanite, because they are diamonds. If you test them, they are diamonds. They have the same physical and chemical characteristics of a traditional mined diamond. And they have the same beauty and durability that you would want in a diamond, and so they cannot be confused. You have to totally separate this product from anything else on the market. And I'd like to give a brief history, if I can,
sure,
so people kind of understand this. So the lab-grown diamonds have actually been around since 1955, but they were industrial grade, so they were used for mining, you know, drill bits. And
I've seen them on drill bits.
Material.
You're right. I recall that in the oil field, sure.
Right. And then the first gem-quality diamonds appeared kind of around 1970, but they were yellow in color. Then around 2000, they were able to grow white gem-quality diamonds. And I don't want to get too specific here or too scientific here, but there are two methods used to grow these diamonds. The first method is called high-pressure, high-temperature, also known as HPHT method. This method mimics the diamond-forming conditions underground, but reproducing these conditions is expensive and complex. So the these diamonds tend to be more expensive than the other method, which is now the predominant method. The other method is called the chemical vapor deposition, or CVD method. This method, and again, I don't want to get into scientific details, but
one is using heat. One is using heat as the Earth would have formed them 100+ years ago, million years ago, I should say, to in the Earth. But the other is a chemical balance. Is that correct?
Correct. They can be done at lower pressure and lower temperature, which makes the process much less costly. And so most lab-grown diamonds today are produced using the CVD method, and they're white gem-quality gemstones. And that's where most of these are going to be produced. And with this reduction in cost, because you don't have that high pressure and high temperature that you have to come up with, it's a much more controllable and more economical method. So it has really opened the door for these lab-grown diamonds. And again, the lab-grown diamonds have the same characteristics. In fact, if you take an old thermal diamond tester to a lab-grown diamond, it will test a diamond because guess what? It is a diamond.
Now, that would not happen if you were using cubic zirconium, right?
That is correct. It will not test as a diamond. Optically or thermal or any other of the tests that are available today, there's no confusing the two. They're not the same chemical. It's not even the same product, not the same durability. And really, you know, I think that the consumer has to understand our industry is not going to push one or the other. Lab-grown diamonds are not for everyone. Some people do feel, oh, I want to get the one that's made by God or made by nature, whatever happens to be for this symbol or that symbol. We're not here to make that choice. Any retailer out there should help their customers through the benefits of each option. And again, we're not going to preach and say, oh, you got to buy a natural, you got to buy a lab-grown. Oh, you're buying a lab-grown because you can't afford this or that. We're not there to judge.
Yeah.
These are an option for the consumer. And really, it's a great option. It's a great time for consumers with diamonds because these have that beauty that you can't get from a cubic zirconia. In fact, I'll just go to a cubic zirconia. Those things scratch very easily. A lab-grown diamond is just as durable as a natural diamond. I want to stress that. That's what's so nice about the product. It's a great alternative for the consumer.
I'm glad you pointed out that they've been around for a long time because I do recall drilling bits in the oil field. My dad worked in the oil field for all of his life, and I remember some of these diamond bits the first time I saw them, and I'm thinking they're using diamonds to go drill down in the earth, but they certainly were not the quality you'd want to put on someone's finger. But now what you have is basically, except for the price, to the eye appears to be the same and pleasing and beautiful.
And the key, I want to stress, it has a durability, which didn't exist with the cubic zirconia and moissanite products. A lab-grown diamond, being a diamond, just made in a lab, has that beauty and the durability.
And the cost difference, again, when we say 70 to 90% discount to the, quote, natural diamond, that's achieved over various levels, I assume, on not just the production cost, but finding them, locating them, exporting, importing, things of that nature. There's so many factors that come into pricing.
Correct. And, well, the size makes a big difference because there is a cost on the bigger lab-grown diamonds, but all in all, you're going to save 70 to 90% really in today's market. And that brings up another point. Each retail operation has a very different pricing structure on the lab-grown diamonds. So, you know, the consumer should go out and, you know, check. We're personally never worried about competition here at Vincent's Jewelers, but I'm here talking for the industry as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, again, this is a great opportunity for consumers to buy beautiful diamonds at a much reduced price.
Now, the thing about the diamonds that have been produced by nature, by God, I mean, you're talking about they're deep in the earth, formed 1 to 3 billion years ago, and then finding them, then getting them out. We can obviously see where that's going to add to the cost. I don't care how great the diamond is or isn't, and prior to the cut. And the lab seems to solve basically all of that issue.
That is correct, but there is still a very special aspect of the natural diamond. So our industry is embracing both for the most part. And again, I want to stress, to the consumer, it's not, the lab-grown diamond is not an option for everybody. Some people really right. feel adamant about the natural diamonds, and there's no problem with that at all. Again, most retail stores are they embrace both, and they're willing to sell both and explain the benefits, because there are benefits to each of the products, the natural diamond and the lab-grown diamonds.
You also have not, I can generally speak about the industry, we're talking to Leo Anglo of Vincent's Jewelers, which I'll remind you again, is one of my sponsors, but also he's an expert in diamonds. I assume the industry and various jewelry stores offer them either in place or as loose diamonds, just like the natural diamonds. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, that's a critical thing. Because the lab-grown diamonds are here and they're here to stay, you're seeing them in earrings, which is probably the most, well, engagement rings, earrings, necklaces, bracelets. So you're seeing them in any type of fashion jewelry or engagement ring. So yes, you can buy them as loose gemstones or in mounted products such as a bracelet or a necklace or earrings. I think earrings are probably the number one category outside of engagement rings for the use of these right now, but you're seeing them trickle down everywhere. And the savings, the bigger the stone, the gemstone, the bigger the diamond, is the bigger the savings, because there's still, the diamonds still have to be cut. They still have to be sorted. They still have to be set. So on a diamond bracelet, the savings may not be as dramatic as a single diamond.
Right. Now, what about other gemstones compared to the lab-grown diamonds?
Well, obviously, the lab-grown diamonds, again, I want to stress, it has given a great alternative for the consumer. It should be an exciting time for the consumer, because it has opened the door for, you know, nicer gemstones, in particular diamonds. Now, as far as the colored gemstones, there have been lab-created colored gemstones for decades now. Emeralds were probably the most popular, with what was called the Chatham-created right. emerald. That's a name brand. But so there's lab-grown colored gemstones as well, but it has not had the dramatic effect and impact as a lab-grown diamond has had for the industry. That's, not even close.
Is that based upon cost and price and creation or what?
Well, I think more popularity. I mean, uh-huh. obviously, with engagement rings and diamond stud earrings, sure. the diamond market is probably 10 to 1, 10 diamonds for every one colored gemstone of every category, practically, for the big three being emeralds, rubies, and sapphires. Diamonds just dominate the market, because there's been that long symbolic aspect of a diamond in terms of the engagement ring. And so, again, I want to stress, with these lab-grown diamonds, it's opened the door for the consumer to get, you know, nice product
yeah.
at very aggressive prices.
Well, certainly with our inflation numbers and everything else. And very quickly, the gem and jewelry industry over the last 10-plus years compared to where we are now and where you see it going.
I think that because of the major aspect of cost involved with mining gemstones, producing them in terms of cutting them and processing them, getting them into this country and for the retail side, I don't see a dramatic effect on colored gemstones. Now, the natural diamonds have seen a price decrease, and I think we'll continue to see that a little bit, because it has to compete against the lab-grown. But eventually, I think that everything will stabilize, and it has traditionally for our industry. We might see a violent up and down on a short-term thing, but generally, our industry has stayed very, very stable. It's made it very good for our industry and for the consumer to have a good, reliable pricing structure for gemstones and even gold. Even though gold has gone up, in retrospect, it's still been a reliable pricing structure that helps our industry and helps the consumer in general to have that reliable pricing.
Leo, I want to thank you for your time. Leo with Vincent's Jewelry, which again is a sponsor of the program, but obviously an expert on the diamond industry and gemstones. Coming up, getting rid of anti-Semitism.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
Yeah!
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This anti-Semitism has become all too common. It's turning to violence in some of these places. And the idea that university administrators would not speak out, would not take care of this problem is just beyond comprehension. You heard the harrowing tales of these students. We could parade many of them up here today to share their experiences from across the land, and it must stop. No Jewish student should feel unsafe going to class or congregating in public or professing their faith. Remember, this is not who we are as Americans. The first freedom that we are guaranteed in the Bill of Rights, in our Constitution, is the freedom of religion, the free exercise of religion. It's an essential component to who we are as Americans. And that's everyone's religion, even minority faiths.
That is, of course, House Speaker Mike Johnson talking about all faiths should be basically accepted. You do not have to be part of the faith if you don't want to, but you cannot discriminate against them, and you certainly should not make them an object of an attack. The anti-Semitism that has surfaced has always been below the surface, but now rapidly increasing because of Hamas and Israel. And we've seen it on the college campuses. A hearing today in Congress involving several universities that were having to answer questions as to what are you doing to stop anti-Semitism on your campus and among your students, and to protect Jewish students in particular. And then some want to say, well, what about protecting the Muslim students? Yes, you should protect them as well. But today, Harvard, MIT, and Penn went forward with congressional testimony insisting we are acting against anti-Semitism. They're only doing it and coming out boldly because they're in the hot seat. And that's a shame. But that, unfortunately, is where we are with our Department of Education nowadays. And if you're going to start looking at discrimination, you also have to look at those who don't endorse and buy into LGBTQ. You should not attack LGBTQ, but nor should you attack nor deny the rights of those who are not part of that same group. But what we have right now in our Department of Education is a department of indoctrination under this administration. That needs to change. Hearings like today with these universities proclaiming that we will fight against anti-Semitism, it's just blah, blah, blah in front of Congress. What do they actually do on the campus? And, of course, another hearing today looking at all of the evidence that is stacking up, reference Hunter Biden and how Daddy might be tied to some of his business dealings, and some of that coming from IRS whistleblowers. Remember them? Gary Shapley, who was a supervisory special agent, Joseph Ziegler, a criminal investigator with the IRS. They were among those who came forward and said, look, this investigation has been curtailed and pushed to the side because the target would involve the Bidens. Congressman Jordan said all of these complaints and noise being made by the left that this is just an effort to destroy Biden and interfere with the upcoming election. He said they are bluffing and they're the ones blowing the air because the whistleblowers and their information has been documented and proven over and over again.
I think this is the bottom line, frankly. The White House's story has changed multiple times. The Justice Department's story has changed multiple times. But the story and the testimony from Mr. Ziegler and Mr. Shapley has not changed, has not wavered, and it has stood up under several hours of cross-examination in the Oversight Committee when we had a hearing. Their testimony has been validated by every single witness we've talked to. We've now talked to three U.S. attorneys, two FBI agents, and other people in the Justice Department as part of our work. In the depositions, interviews we've done, no one has refuted what Mr. Shapley and Mr. Ziegler have said. We issued a report this morning, just came out, talking about this, that their testimony has stood up. And their testimony has stood up, you know why? Because they're the ones telling the truth.
The truth. The truth should win out. It should. But you have to fight so hard sometimes just to get the truth. There's a story that's coming out, actually created by a couple of New York law professors. Epoch Publication has a piece on it as I speak. The professors wrote a paper titled Trading on Terror. Now, we told you the other day that the Israeli security had been told maybe up to a year ago, certainly months before October 7, that Hamas was planning to carry out exactly what it did do on October 7. And one of the intel agents told her supervisors, look, this thing is something they're working on right now. But the higher-ups, who apparently knew better, said, no, it's just ambitious. It's a pipe dream of Hamas. No way would they be capable, much less would they dare do it. And then October 7 hit. This piece appearing in Epoch Times regarding the New York law professors in her draft paper, Robert Jackson Jr. of New York University and Joshua Mitz of Columbia University, said that they have identified a sharp and unusual spike in trading in risky short-dated options on Israeli companies in the days leading up to the Hamas invasion. As they write, days before the attack, traders appeared to anticipate the events to come, suddenly and significantly spiking on October 2, 5 days before the Hamas attack. And just before the attack, short selling of Israeli securities on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange increasing dramatically. Short trading means that you believe the stock is going to go down. So you bet on that, and there's where you make your money. In other words, apparently some traders, in some fashion or another, knew that this was going to be carried out relatively soon, so they made a bet that the price on some of these Israeli stocks would go down, and they could make a profit. According to this paper that these professors have put together, these law professors, they saw peaks on April 3rd, very similar to those found on October 2nd, but then a lot higher this time around. And they say in terms of profits, those behind the scheme might have profited millions of dollars from one just one short transaction. One example, 4.4 million new shares in the largest bank in Israel sold short between September 14 and October 5. In the aftermath of the Hamas attack, the share dropped to a new low, allowing the trader to make a profit of something like $8.5 million on just that one trade. How did that information get into the hands of stock traders? And if they had the information and they were basing it upon Hamas was going to attack Israel, why were they not sounding an alarm instead of worrying about putting money in their pocket? Even Benjamin Netanyahu has said, based upon our security failings and the fact that we had apparently had knowledge in advance that Hamas might try to carry this out and we did not take it seriously, there will be a day of reckoning once the war is over. Well, the White House continues to push for more money for Ukraine. Jake Sullivan, White House Security Advisor.
Congress has to decide whether to continue to support the fight for freedom in Ukraine as part of the 50-nation coalition that President Biden has built, or whether Congress will ignore the lessons we've learned from history and let Putin prevail. It is that simple. It is that stark a choice. There is no magical pot of funding available to meet this moment. As Director Young said, we're running out of money, and we are nearly out of time.
Well, in the beginning of this hour, and also some in the preceding hour, we were pointing out that members of Congress on the Republican side are not going to be so willing to give money to any other country other than Israel, and certainly not Ukraine, unless you also are serious about providing money to lock down our border. Senator Lindsey Graham making that very clear earlier today, saying you may think you can pull apart our votes and pick us off one by one and get some of us to buy into more money for Ukraine, but it's not going to happen unless you couple with it serious money for serious closure of the border. And the reasons why it needs to be closed, I've got a story coming up in a moment that's going to exaggerate, amplify, and scare the hell out of you. But before that, there is someone you might think would not be in favor of giving more money to Ukraine right now, and that is former four-star general Jack King, who often appears on Fox News as an analyst. And here is how and why he explains funding Ukraine is essential.
What American people have to understand, the reality is the center of gravity for Ukraine to be where they are today, their ability to defend against the Russian attack initially last year and to retake territory, 50% of the territory they've taken back, that's all due to U.S. and European assistance. If that stops, Putin wins. And guess who else wins? China wins, and so does Iran. That's the reality. We see now how joined at the hip these three countries are. We've got to take a look at a strategic view at this and recognize that U.S. vital interests are involved here. Putin will not stop if he prevails in Ukraine. We already see he has plans for Eastern Europe, and that would directly involve U.S. troops. Let's stop him now with Ukraine troops and our military assistance. It makes much more sense.
You can't argue that point because we do not want military, U.S. military boots on the ground in Ukraine. But I stand with Senator Lindsey Graham and others who say no more money for Ukraine of any type until we get legitimate, serious money and actions that will shut down our border. Instead of protecting Ukraine's border, we need to protect our border first. I'll remind you again that the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, did present $14.5 billion available for use for Israel, but it was rejected by Chuck Schumer, leader of the Senate, because he said it's not serious because it does not include money for Ukraine, nor the money we want for Taiwan, nor money we want for the border. The money that the Biden administration had in there for the border would not really lock down the border. It would simply put more agents available to help process those coming across the border. And how bad is it getting? There's a report that out of Pasto, Colombia, a hotel was found packed to the brim, as they wrote, with military-aged Chinese nationals all has headed to the U.S. In fact, the reporter from Muckraker said, "We were the only non-Chinese visitors. All the signs posted around this hotel in Colombia had a Chinese translation, indicating this is a common meeting place for people of Chinese origin. And they are all headed to the U.S. using various dedicated hubs along their migration route. And from this point, they'll either cross the Darien Gap and trek up to the U.S. or end up flying directly into Mexico if they can get a visa." Do you see what's happening? All of these Chinese military-age men coming in across our border, as porous as it is now, and we're to believe that they're all simply escaping the dictatorship of China? Some might want to, but if that many men suddenly disappeared from the face of China, they would know about it, and they would be investigating them, and their families would pay with their lives if those men had defected. But if they've been sent on orders of Premier Xi to get into the United States and be ready for a call to action, their families will be safe, maybe even honored. In the meantime, there are new uncovered documents exposing Microsoft's partnership with Chinese state-run media outlets. Already, Microsoft has something like 9,000 employees in China and wants to expand more. Well, the Washington Free Beacon is reporting of documents showing how much of this partnership Microsoft has with all the Chinese state-run media outlets, China Daily, People's Daily. They're all recognized as propaganda arms of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, all of these collaborations have been forged since 2016 or 2018 at the latest. All of them involved Microsoft providing advanced technology and artificial intelligence capabilities to these same Chinese state-run media outlets. China Daily receiving technology from Microsoft to target and profile users, people's daily granted access to Microsoft's AI chat box, all of it to be controlled and censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Experts have criticized these deals, but are we at the point now the horse is up the barn? Microsoft already deeply engaged in China and wants to build a bigger relationship? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.